Back in the spring of 1970, Paul was considering the teaching job at Cortland. We sat in his apartment for hours going over the pros and cons. Either way, he wanted his decision to be a practical one. If he took the job, he and his new young family, Joan Miller and their infant Carlos, would have some security. It would also mean they would have to leave the city. Paul was freelancing at the time, proofreading at the time. Paul constantly organized readings, recordings, the readings, and promoted the poets, and sometimes promoted painters, but never himself. He was the itinerant, the man who was always working for something other than himself. This changed when he got to Cortland. After he started teaching and before his cancer was diagnosed, I visited Paul and Joan. It was the happiest, the steadiest I ever saw him. We talked about the drawings I was doing for his translation of Per Vidal. Per Vidal, 1175-1205, was from Toulouse, the son of a furrier, and Paul says he sang better than any man in the world. He also says Vidal was one of the maddest fellows that ever lived, for he believed as truth whatever he wanted or whatever happened to please him. Because Paul Blackburn, 1926-1971, had the gifts and desire, he became one in all of them. As with genius and learning, he gave their poems his own voice and a new life and a new language. George Economou, from his 1972 introduction to Paul's Per Vidal. Pause. For Paul, Joan, and their baby Carlos, a showering, a flux of well-being carried Cavalcante and Dante up the stairs. It was a time of change, of soft edges and of students, a faculty that was not hostile. The house wasn't large, but it was pleasant, and it had a backyard. Paul said, "Draw me on a horse," and after a number of attempts, I stopped. I'd begin, and it would go well, and then I'd cry. The horse became the vehicle that was taking him away. I was being selfish, but I couldn't do it. In fact, I wasn't able to complete the drawings that are in the book until after his death. The troubadour cries, "Mercy, mercy," but mercy does not come. Pause. First the poem, then the theory. Paul was a weed lover. We need Paul Blackburn. On the subway to Coney Island, he thrives on reading Pound aloud. Splash, catch a fish. But it isn't a codfish. It doesn't have a name, but it is a fish. And it said, "You think you can take advantage of me? Well, you can, but it won't get you anything more than what you've taken. Because what you think you want is not what I've got to give. What I've got to give is weeds. Weeds insist they grow among the needy, among the preferred, the upstanding, the beautiful, the prosperous. Weeds, grass, clover, between grasses, triptychs that reach out and condemn child abuse." Pause. White on white, do you appreciate the unicorn tapestry? Paul did, by the fence surrounding the milk white. Unicorn. There are carnations and a butterfly. What appears to be blood on the unicorn's body is juice dripping from pomegranates in the tree above. A wild orchard, a lily, and a small green frog fertilize a faith that marriage is lasting. That his first two marriages had failed daunted him. Pause. Paul was abused by his maternal grandmother. She whipped him. That Paul was able to keep his sense of wonder still amazes me. If you knew the day you were born that your life was temporary, would you be brave and want to live knowing no matter what you did, the outcome would be the same? It's a question that can never be answered, because no matter what you answer, if you are alive, you are responsible. And if you chose immediate death, I have identified the cause of your demise. For example, Charles Bukowski was a scorched man. Bukowski's father's beatings literally beat the poetry out of him. He survived by telling and writing stories that are true social commentaries, and that's why they are so popular. But his poems are not poems. They are stories, narratives, with an intended conclusion. It's not that he's a coward, far from it. But Bukowski knows he must not get too far inside of himself. It's too dangerous. He is no fool. He knows that poetry opens the seal, and you can never be sure once that seal is removed that what you find will protect you.